So over the last few weeks, we've had a little mini theme using the word spectacular. Pastor Beth spoke about spectacular mistakes. Last week, I spoke about spectacular Savior. This week, I'm going to tell you what the title of the message is at the end of the message, and you'll see why. But what I want to do is I want to begin by reading Psalm 23. And so we're going to have it on the screen. And this week, like I did last week, I just felt to use the old King James Version again. Who knows Psalm 23 off by heart? Six verses. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Actually, you can read it with me. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil,
Amen. Hallelujah. What a great psalm. Well, I'm going to come back to the psalm in a moment, but there's actually a fascinating story in the Bible, and it's found in 2 Kings chapter 6, and it's about a preacher who caused a lot of trouble. Who knows that preachers can be troublemakers? Amen. Well, the preacher in this story is a guy you've got on the screen right now. His name was Elisha. He was a preacher come prophet. His country, I want to tell you this story. It's actually a fascinating story, and I'll tell it really quick. His country, Israel, they were constantly being attacked and harassed by a nation called Aram. I think it's how you say it, Aram. And Elisha would cause trouble for the enemy king and his army, because the enemy king would plan to attack Israel and its armies in a certain place. And then God would immediately tell Elisha about the plans of the enemy king. And so Elisha then would go to his own king and warn him about the plans of the enemy. So Israel was able to be protected. It was wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's amazing what the Lord tells preachers about people. And so this frustrated the king of Aram. And he couldn't conquer Israel, even though his army was powerful. He just couldn't defeat them because they always knew what he was going to do. They knew his plans. And so the king of Aram became so frustrated. Don't feel sorry for the king of Aram, by the way, everybody. He was a bad king. The king of Aram became so frustrated with what was going on, so he then accused his own war cabinet of disloyalty. And he wanted to know, which one of you guys are a traitor? And he asked him so. But his men told him what was really happening. They said, "Hey, boss, it's not our fault." They said, "There's a prophet, this preacher. His name's Elisha. And he knows everything that's going on. He even knows the words that you say in your bedroom. He keeps passing on your plans to the king of Israel." And the king of Aram, he was just horrified when he heard this. He said, "What? What?" And then he's probably thinking, "Why didn't you guys tell me about this?" You know, and then his men even told him where Elisha was, and they says he's in a little town called Dothan. So the king ordered that a large contingent of soldiers, that they make an incursion into Israelite territory during the dark of night, and quickly surround the town of Dothan and capture that preacher, Elisha. So off they went. And by the time the sun was to rise, the small town of Dothan was surrounded by all of these soldiers. It was a huge army that he had sent, chariots and horses. The king of Aram just didn't want any way for Elisha to escape out of this. He wanted this guy. And so they were ready to make the move. So they're just about to make their move. And at the same time, a young servant of Elisha comes out of the house. Probably to get some water, who knows. But he just looks around the town and he was horrified. He was shocked. He became panicky because he saw all the enemy troops and soldiers surrounding their little town. And so he did panic and he rushed back inside. And he said to the prophet Elisha, he said, "Oh, sir, what will we do now?" I'm sure he said it in a different way. But anyway, that's how it comes into the translation. Oh, God help us. Oh, sir, what are we going to do now? I wonder how many times you've said that. You've only been up for half an hour and you're already saying, "Oh no, what are we going to do now?" But Elisha, he was so calm, cool and collected. Who knows that the preachers are the coolest guys in town? He was calm. The Bible says he was calm. He was relaxed. And he said to the young man, and this is the Bible's full of this statement, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." He was panicking. "Don't be afraid." Then Elisha said this to him. He said, for there are more on our side than on theirs. There's more with us than those that are against us. Then Elisha said this. He prayed. He says, Elisha prayed. He says, "O Lord, open his eyes and let him see." And my prayer for us all, including me, "O Lord, open our eyes and let us see." Amen, amen. Then the Lord opened the young man's eyes. And when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around him was filled with other horses and other chariots, other soldiers, chariots and horses of fire. The whole place was surrounded by angels. How about that? Angelic soldiers were everywhere. And then Elisha, cool, calm preacher that he was, just prayed about the enemy. "Oh Lord, please make them blind." That's interesting, isn't it? You guys can think about that later. And so the Lord struck all those enemy soldiers with blindness, and Elisha then helped them, and he led the whole contingent of these enemy soldiers to his king, who gave them a meal and sent them home, didn't kill anybody. And then Aram decided they better not attack Israel anymore for a while. What a great victory! Nobody had to die. What a great victory. What a great story. But the truth is, every day when you get out of bed, that's my grandson. He was having a bad day that day. And so, he wasn't feeling, I think he's teething or something. Anyway, every day when you get out of bed, you also, everybody in this room, everybody who's a follower of Jesus, you're surrounded by powerful spiritual enemies. We all are. We know this. I'm reminding you of it. And these spiritual enemies, they attempt to discourage you and shut you down. How many times have you been like the young servant? And you've actually said, because you're faced with difficult situations, you've said, "What do we do now? What am I going to do? How am I going to get out of this one? How am I going to get out of this mess?" Indeed, we understand that the whole world around us is under the control of the evil one. And I'm not being negative. That's what the Bible says. That's the scripture. And the whole world will be under the control of the evil one until Jesus Christ says, "Enough!" And he comes back again. Amen. Amen. But thank God that Psalm 23, coming back to Psalm 23, has something very powerful to say to us about living in a world that is hostile to you and me as followers of Jesus. Verse 4 and 5 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." Ladies and gentlemen, in every dark valley, even during COVID-19 times, even during trouble at home times, even during times when you're feeling stressed and emotionally drained, God still remains with you. He said, "I will never leave you nor abandon you." You're not abandoned. The angels of the Lord surround you. You have more on your side than those that are against you, real life church. God will never allow the enemies of your soul to overwhelm you and to destroy you, because they have no authority over you, because you belong to Jesus. You can be confident that no matter what storms are raging around you, Almighty God will always bring you through and you will overcome. The Bible says, Romans 8:37, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. I know the devil might have control over the world, but he's got no authority over you. In fact, he has no business messing with you. Verse 5 of Psalm 23 declares, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." What a great verse. What a powerful verse. The struggles and anxieties of life that surround you today are not the complete picture of your life. God, who you cannot see, also surrounds your life. Your life is tough, yes. Who has a tough life? I said tough life, not tough wife. I said tough life. Way too many hands went up that time. Amen, amen. Yeah, yes, life is tough. It is. I got news for you. I want to really encourage you. It will always be tough. Because we're living in hostile territory. But this is the thing, according to that verse, that in the middle of enemy territory, in the middle of your storm, the Good Shepherd, our spectacular Savior, has prepared a table of feasting for you and for me. Amen. And the imagery in this verse 5 of Psalm 23, yeah, he's got a happy face there. Amen. Amen. The image here in this prophetic verse is, the image is blessing. There is a supernatural table of blessing for you because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Blessing has always been there for you. Perhaps you never saw it. Perhaps you never realized it. You are anointed of the Holy Spirit and your cup runs over with blessing. Blessing means favor. It means prosperity. And as you follow Jesus, divine favor runs after you. I love that new song that we've been learning of recent times, talking about favor coming after us. I can't remember the exact words. Even verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Amen. Favor is running after you. God's will for you is blessing. He's not got a grudge against you. He doesn't want to push you down. God's will for your life is blessing. And his table is full of all manner of blessings for you and for me. Praise God. Some of these blessings are spiritual and some are physical. For example, Ephesians 1:3 says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with just a few spiritual..." Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. I want to read a portion from Deuteronomy 28. It's paraphrased a little. And this portion was a scripture of blessing. So in Deuteronomy 28, it's a beautiful chapter, Deuteronomy 28, but verses 1 to 14 is blessings for Israel. But these blessings today in Christ are also for us. And I can explain that another time, but here it is. This is a blessing for us. "Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed." I'm talking about the blessings of God for you. "The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do will be blessed. The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They will take you from one direction, but they will scatter you from you in seven." Seven means completion. They're going to your enemies will be smashed. "The Lord will guarantee a blessing on everything you do and will fill your storehouses with grain." You'll always have enough. The Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, you will lend to people, and you will never need to borrow from them. The Lord will make you the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You'll always come out on top and never at the bottom. What about this? 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. For you are a chosen people. Seriously, folks, come on. Come on. You're a chosen people. You're a royal priest, a holy nation. You're God's very own possession. What about this blessing? Jesus said, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and peace of heart. What a blessing. What about Romans 8, 1? So there's now no condemnation. What a blessing for those who belong to Jesus Christ. What about 1 Peter 2, 24? It says, Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. What a blessing. God has so much in store for you and for me. We are overwhelmed with God's favor while surrounded by our enemies. Oh Lord, open our eyes. How do you extract those blessings from the pages of the Bible and what we just looked at on the screen? How do you extract them from the Bible and make them part of your daily life experience? Because sometimes you can feel like, I read that, but this is really what's going on over here. And you get that gap in between. How do you extract? How do you walk in the blessings of God? And I just want to give you an analogy that is kind of a little bit strange, but I just pray that will be helpful to you. I've got a picture of Cherie on the screen there. Isn't she beautiful, everybody? Cherie's our daughter-in-law, Rochelle and I's daughter-in-law. She's married to our son, Ben. And we think Cherie is amazing. And she's such a blessing to our family. She married Ben. Amen. She handles Ben when we couldn't. So, let's not go there. I don't know if anybody's noticed something about that picture, but Cherie is also pregnant. Okay, so Cherie's pregnant. And little Hudson, and that's what his name's going to be, is due to be born this week on the 22nd of July. And obviously we're excited. But we haven't seen Hudson yet. But we know he is in Cherie's tummy. And he is just as alive and real today as he will be in about 3 or 4 days' time when he steps out into our world. We've been talking about him. Ben and Cherie have been getting ready for him. And now they're ready for Hudson to be born. As in the natural, so in the spiritual. Listen to this. I got it on the screen there. Whenever you discover a promise or a blessing in the Bible that Jesus has provided for you, you have to get pregnant in your heart with that promise first before you hold it in your arms and enjoy it. This is how it works. It's how the Bible works. It's how God works. How do you receive peace from God? How do you receive healing? How do you receive salvation, be born again? How do you receive victory over troubles? It starts in your heart. Believe in your heart and you will be saved. So get pregnant in your heart with God's word first. Put God's word in your heart first. This is always God's way. The power of God's promises come through believing in your heart first. 9 months ago, Cherie got pregnant. But no one noticed for several months. Nobody knew she was pregnant for the first few months. But the seed had been planted. Little Hudson was in there. Little Hudson was growing. In the same way, the seed of God's word enters our heart through reading the Bible, through somebody sharing with you, through a sermon like this, and we become, if we receive the word, that is, and got good ground, we become pregnant with divine life, God's word. Nobody notices that that's happened to you. You might not even notice at first, but God's word is still in your heart. This is really weird saying this. I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant in my heart with a few things in my heart. I've been holding to God with. And this is the thing, spiritual pregnancies, some can be long, some can be short. But I'm pregnant in my heart right now with several answers to prayer that I need, the things that I'm holding on to God for. And I have God's word for my needs in my heart. And now, in the natural, you can come and say, hey, Dave, it doesn't seem like your prayers are being answered because I can't see the results. There's no evidence that your prayer's been answered. But you know, isn't that the same with pregnancies? We can't see little Hudson yet either, but we know he's in Cherie's tummy. The answers to prayer that I'm pursuing may not be in my arms yet, but God's word is still alive in my heart and growing inside of me. And that's the same for you. That's exactly the same for all of us. And so what do? We just keep feeding that holy seed within us so that it grows so that it can be born into our lives. And you feed. How do you feed that holy seed within in you? You feed the holy seed of God's word with your own words that you speak. You know, Cherie is talking to little Hudson. She talks to him all the time. Of course she does. All mothers do. They speak to the baby within their tummy, in their womb. They speak. And right now, Cherie's saying to him, could you please get out? Could you please get out? Please. In the same way, we speak words of faith, don't we, to ourselves concerning the promises of God that we're holding on to. And I regularly whisper to myself about my prayers and desires. And I whisper to myself about the blessings that I want in my life. And I say things like, that blessing is mine. I'll have that, thank you very much. That promise, that's mine. I'll have that, thank you very much. That answer to the prayer, that's mine. I'll have that, thank you very much. And I say that before I can even feel it, before I can even see it. That peace is mine. That peace is mine. I'll have that, thank you very much. That joy is mine today. I'll have that, thank you very much. The fruit of the Spirit is mine today. I need that, thank you very much. I'll have that. That healing belongs to me. I'll have that right now. Thank you, Jesus. That healing belongs to me. It's in me. It's filling my heart and mind. It's growing in me. And we don't give up because all pregnancies take a little time. And sooner or later, God's will, word becomes an experience in our lives. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. O Lord, please open our eyes. And the title of today's message is Spectacular Pregnancy. Amen. We need a few spectacular pregnancies here at Real Life Church. Who's in for that? I say let's get pregnant with the promises of God's word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.